for today, actually doing the prep for this, I learned some new stuff. I learned stuff like the fact that this story originated in Egypt and was a popular story, kind of like the three little pigs, and Jesus took it and tweaked it for his own purposes. But I also was faced personally by the awfulness that that man knew that he'd missed out in hell. That he actually had an awareness of what was not available to him. And for me, that was just a new layer of understanding that there really is nothing worse than being separated from God in eternity. Can you just turn to the person next to you and tell them very, very quickly, pretend that you are whatever age you were in the age group that you've just been in. So, okay, you could be an under five, you could be a 9 to 12 girl, whatever. And think about the worst thing that you ever think happened to you at that age. Okay, you've only got about 10 seconds, so do it fast, okay? Very fast. When I was 4, being taken to Edinburgh Zoo and being pecked by a penguin. And at that stage, if you'd asked me, I would have said there is nothing worse than being pecked by a penguin. This story tells us there's something that is a whole lot worse. But I think it's really important that we remember from the perspective of a 4-year-old, that's the area in which they're thinking. There is nothing worse than being pecked by a penguin. These things are so massive that it's actually very hard to get from penguin injury to eternal separation from the Almighty God. And we can't do this on our own, can we? And I'm sure as you've been laughing and telling funny stories, you do realize that this is mind-blowing stuff for kids. And so the warning that we are offering is massive and is explosive. And that's why we've got to handle it so carefully. And it's really important that every single week when we teach kids, we can answer this question. What have you learned today? So not that they ask us every week, but that we can actually say, here's how God's impacted me. And could you pray for me this week? Because I want that to make a difference. Because let's face it, if my knowledge that that man knows that he's missed out and is in hell doesn't actually change the way I am with my neighbours and my school mum friends and everyone I know that doesn't know Jesus, then I'm not living a joined up life, am I? And kids need to see God at work in us, because this message is for us and he wants to transform us. So as we sum up the passage, Jesus' words, repent and listen. Are we absolutely convinced that this is the all-powerful, explosive word that is going to do its work? Because if we're not convinced, we go through the motions Sunday by Sunday. And that inner conviction should make our hearts sing as we read that in the passage. It's not fancy tricks. It's not your 27-piece origami craft to take home. It's actually opening the Bible with children and letting them see Jesus and getting out of the way so that they see Jesus and not you. And they don't go home saying, Fiona's such a lovely teacher. They go home saying, Jesus is amazing. So in terms of our thinking about sin, do we see ourselves as forgiven sinners? Don't know about your church, but in our church, everyone's lovely. And their children are lovely. And life's generally quite good. And it's quite good fun. And being the kind of person I am, I often say to people mischievously, when you say, how are you? I'm good. I'll go, no, you're not. You're wicked and sinful. But Jesus loves you and that's fantastic. But there is something pervasive about this, it's all good, I'm good attitude that we have. And when it comes to teaching children, do we talk about ourselves as forgiven sinners? Do we talk about the fact that we've messed up during the week? That we need Jesus and they need Jesus? Do we ask them to pray for us on our journey as we pray for them on theirs? Do they see us hungry and thirsty for more of God and wanting to get to know him better? Do we see ourselves as forgiven sinners? And if we do wholeheartedly, but think, flip, there's a gap, isn't the whole of our Christian ministry about gaps and actually asking the Holy Spirit to cross those gaps? Say, okay, I'm going to start talking about myself more openly like this with children so they get it. Because the danger is that they think they're wicked and sinful and that we're really quite nice. And that if they keep coming to church and doing all the stuff they're told, one day they might be quite nice like us. And then at some point they're going to see that we're not quite nice because we'll mess up. But it's really important that we see ourselves and talk about ourselves and talk to them as little sinners in need of forgiveness. So, sorry. Church kids need Jesus too. Isn't it great that this is a story for insiders, for Pharisees and disciples, and that meets our church kids' brief really well, doesn't it? But the danger is that, like the Pharisees, they think they're in. They think they're sorted. So do we go to church on a Sunday or wherever you do your children's ministry thinking, unless these kids come to know Jesus personally, they're bound for the same destiny as the rich man? Is that part of our thinking? Is it really? We know it, but does that determine the way that we treat them and the way that we teach them? It's so easy to teach the story well and get the theology right, but to treat the children as if they're in and they're part of God's family, and to talk as if we're lovely people. And then there's this massive gap between what we've just taught and how we're living and relating. And that's why the Bible sometimes seems distant to children, because it doesn't actually fit with what's going on in life. Okay, I've gone on from death too quickly, but are we scared to talk about death? Or are we able to model an attitude to death that is a gospel attitude and that speaks about Jesus' victory over death on the cross and the fact that we don't grieve as those who have no hope? And speaks about longing for life after death and heaven. What do we treasure? What do our kids see us treasure as we teach them Sunday by Sunday? Are we modeling hearts that are fixed on eternity? Because we can tell them and try to show them and use lots of sparkly, glittery craft to get them to the point where they see that heaven is exciting and wonderful. But if they see us more preoccupied with what's going on round about us than heaven, there's a gap, isn't there? And hell, do we really believe and live that nothing is worse than being separated from God? Are we able to say when bad stuff happens, God's going to use this to make you more like Jesus? Or do we catastrophize? And when it comes to hell, do we take it seriously? So, in our thinking, we got to make sure that God is doing his work in us so that what we teach children actually matches how we're living. We're going to hear very briefly from the people that ran the seminars on stuff that stuck out for them that was particularly good or helpful. I know we've not got there to finished product. And I think what we were going to do is just collate all the good ideas from everywhere and put them together and get them into a format that you can use. That's maybe going to involve a little more work from some of us than we anticipated because you've not had time. But it has been good to spend time actually richly in the text, working out what it's saying. Okay, so seminar leaders, do you want to come up and give us just a flavor of something?
So our group settled on the big choice that we have and the immediacy of it with choose now whom you will serve, who you're going to listen to. And I think that fits well. We had 5 to 8-year-old girls, and so they think pretty concretely, black and white. Choices have consequences. So that was what we were going to go for.
Brilliant. So and you've got this idea of listening and how listening really matters, which is where Jesus ends up too. So that's brilliant.
So we had boys aged 5 to 8, and one of the big things we looked at was how you could build a train track. And there'd be two tracks and two places of destination, and you have to make a choice as you're driving along the track, whether you're going to go this way or that way. Two choices, and they have it takes you someplace, and the two different places are different.
Fantastic. I think that's really helpful visually.
We did the under fives. We talked. One of the things that someone said at the end was, it's good to know we can teach a scary passage to this age group. Our big idea was decide now whether you want to be with God forever. So, yeah, about choices.
Okay, and the 9 to 12s, boys?
Oh, we're so laughing before we start. I think listening was a big thing that came up in our group. What else do we have? Okay. So we're still trying to nail our big idea. I think with the 9 to 12 boys, you know, they do have a little bit more of a. They're just that little bit older that you can go a little bit sort of deeper. So, yeah, we're still trying to work on our to just nail that theme for those that age group. But yeah, listening was sort of came out a bit. The warning. Sorry. Yes, the warning. And same sort of thing. We do have that choice. So we're either listening to God and obeying him now, or we're ignoring God and relying on our own devices, not the electronic kind. And where that's going to send us. So we're sort of hinging around that. We've yet to put that in words, but essentially it is that warning, and it's about listening to God and that choice.
Fantastic. Thank you. We're not quite finished, Bill. We're going there, but we're not quite finished. One of the things that's really clear here is the extremes of the reversal and the rich and poor. So it's really good if, when we're teaching the story, we get those extremes across to the kids. One very easy way to do this, whenever you've got a really extreme Bible story, is to get kids to make big foam thumbs. And when something fantastic happens, they put the thumbs up. And when something terrible happens, they put the thumbs down. And depending on how good or bad it is, they can raise it higher or lower. And this story lends itself to that because it is so extreme. And it actually opens up the story and shows how opposite the stuff that's going on is. But what it allows you to do is just read the passage with the kids. I think we really have to have a very good reason not to just open the Bible and read the text with them. And sometimes there are good reasons. But where it's a straightforward, clear narrative, it's great to do that, but to keep them engaged while they're doing it. I read a great craft activity which suggested that we fed kids the hottest food available and then didn't let them get any water so that they could experience what it would be like to have the torment of hell. Right. For some of us, there's a glint in the eye. For others, there's sheer horror. I'm more of a glint in my eye for that. And I think I'm not going to get off with that with the parents in my church. But you know what we could do? We could feed them really salty crackers and, Liz said, even better salty pretzels. And just say, how do you feel at the end of that? And then give them beautiful ice cream or something that is just so easy and lovely and soothing and comfortable. And in those very, very simple way, they're actually entering into the experience. You might say, why did these nuts have food craft down? It's because kids love food, particularly young ones. It is part of their lives. We've got to be a bit more creative because there's lots of allergies and stuff out there. But in terms of concrete thinkers, to have had salty pretzels and be gasping for water, and then to have had beautiful ice cream, will give them a taste sensation that they can identify with those two destinations. And it's not fire, and it's not massively scary, but it does actually show something very clearly. So you can have a think about that. What we've asked Colin to do is just to bring things to a great end. And it's interesting because, having looked at the passage, there were several of Colin's songs you could sing. that go with it. So just as we finish, do you want to shout out the Colin songs that you think would be most appropriate? If you know his stuff, you can look at the list for this particular passage. Global warning. Yeah, it's great because it catastrophizes, doesn't it? It's extreme. Brilliant choice. Anything else? Open your ears to God's word. And again, we have richness there in a completely different direction, but totally true to what's being taught. You can do that in a second. Any others? Yeah. The greatest treasure is what we're going to sing. Yes. That was his choice. Well done. Woo! Colin's car, you'll have to go to Sydney to collect it, but we all heard him say it. But there's also, what do you call that? It's all going to fade. It's all going to rust. It's all going to start to fall apart. It's all going to, only the things that the Lord will last. So what we're going to sing, if you don't know the greatest treasure, do listen to the words because they're brilliant and it fits beautifully with all that we've been wanting to teach children.
Well, the greatest treasure in the whole wide world is peace with God. Well, the greatest treasure in the whole wide world is peace with God. It's the only treasure that will ever fade. Even death can't take it away. It's the greatest treasure in the whole wide world.
Anyone can sing this bit.
Peace with God. You can live for happiness and live for stuff, but it's all gonna fade away.
I should have picked up on that, Colin. Thank you. And now we'll be serenaded by Colin Buchanan. Hey, I've had a good time, even though our group was... we didn't actually get to a big idea. It was a really good time. I hope that you...
Whole purpose, yeah.
We're going to have a good time now having lunch. So just some instructions. We've got Subway. For those who've registered for lunch, you should have a little dot on your name tag. They're the fortunate ones. They're the ones you're going to get to eat. Everybody else, there is some places up at the Ville you'd have to be really quick to get to. Those who've registered and have got dietary requirements, just see Belinda at the door here. She's got your lunch right at the door. For everybody else, you can have up to 2 sandwiches, there's cold water and some fruit and that type of things. We've only got about half an hour for lunch, so Belle will ring the bell at about, when it's time anyway. I think 1:10, we'll be back in here for session two. But let me pray. Let me give thanks for the food that we're about to have together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to spend some time on your word, have some good input from Colin. And Lord God, thank you for the way that you've been able to shape and mold our thinking. And Lord God, thanks for this food that we can enjoy together now. And we pray that as we share time together, that we'll encourage one another and build one another up. And most of all, point one another to our great Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.